May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1108. Breathe from the gentle south, O Lord, and cheer me from the north. Blow on the treasures of thy word, and call the spices forth. Hymn 1108.
Portions of God's holy word I would like us to read. Firstly, Psalm 139, and then a part of the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 29. We'll begin with Psalm 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And then turning on to the prophecy of Jeremiah, we'll read a part of chapter 29 from verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 29. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. After that Jeconiah the king, and the queen, and the eunuchs, the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem, by the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent unto Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you, and perform my good word toward you, in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me, and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I have caused you to be carried away captives. Because ye have said, the Lord hath raised us up prophets in Babylon. Know that thus saith the Lord of the king that sitteth upon the throne of David, and of all the people that dwelleth in this city, and of your brethren that are not gone forth with you into captivity. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will send upon them the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, and will make them like vile figs that cannot be eaten, they are so evil. I will persecute them with the sword, and with the famine, and with the pestilence, and will deliver them to be removed to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse and an astonishment, and an hissing and a reproach among all the nations whither I have driven them, because they have not hearkened to my words, saith the Lord, which I sent unto them by my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them. But ye would not hear, saith the Lord. Leave the reading of God's holy word there. May he bless these portions to us and help us all now to pray. O Lord God of hosts, of whom we have been reading, do help us each one now, aloud and silently, to come unto thee in humble prayer and supplication. O Lord, we are told that we should in everything make our requests known unto thee with thanksgiving. Lord, we know not how one or another would be praying at this time, what particular concerns there might be in each heart. Lord, we do ask, though, that there may be that real spirit of prayer throughout the congregation as well as in the pulpit. Lord, we all need thy help truly to pray, to pour out our hearts unto thee. Lord, as we've been reading, there is nothing that is concealed from thee. So we, though we may be ashamed of our thoughts, we cannot hide them. Oh Lord, thou knowest these things altogether. Lord, do help us each to come then in humble confession of all our many sins. Lord, may there be that real spirit of repentance granted, that we should be truly sorry for our sin, not just for the consequence of it, but that realization we have offended the God whom we love. Oh Lord, help us to think what it has cost thee to procure a pardon for sin. Oh Lord, how great were thy sufferings at Calvary because we trust of our sin. Oh Lord, we do pray then that we may not think of these things lightly, as if they don't really matter. Oh Lord, we do pray that thou make us see the awfulness of sin. Thou who art holy, pure and just, cannot look upon sin, cannot tolerate it. Oh Lord, we do pray then that we may value that precious Saviour, that Redeemer who has paid the price for sin. Lord, we do pray if there are those this night that stand in some uncertainty as to whether this great work of redemption was for them, they may believe, Lord, as we have believed, that redemption and salvation is a fact, that there is a people that are saved by in thy mercy. But, oh Lord, one might be saying, visit me with thy salvation. Show unto me thy salvation. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Lord, if there is such a heart before thee tonight, perhaps more than one, perhaps many, perhaps all, Lord, we do not know. We do pray that those urgent cries, those earnest petitions may truly come up unto thee. Lord, that thou wilt think upon the needs of each one, that thou wilt remember each one. Lord, we often have to pray when, as it were, we don't know how to pray. We have to just pray with Nehemiah, remember me, O Lord, for good. Whatever, Lord, thou seest would be good. We are very poor judges of what is good for us, but Lord, thou knowest exactly what is good for us. Well, we do pray then, Lord, that thou wilt pour down a blessing from heaven upon us. Lord, we are greatly privileged. May we realize what a privilege it is to meet together freely. Lord, we have no constraints around our worship and our access to thy word, to thy house. Oh Lord, we do pray that we might value these things highly, that it might be, thy word might be esteemed in our hearts, not only as we come here, but Lord, in our private readings and meditation upon thy word. Do teach us, Lord, and instruct us from thy word. May it not just be a duty, as it were, to get through it to ease our conscience, but may there be that real diligent searching. Lord, as we come to thy word day by day, may there be a blessing upon it in our hearts. Lord, don't leave us to a coldness and an indifference, we do pray. Lord, we think of one minister of old, long since passed away, who always began the reading with, let us read for our instruction. Lord, we do pray that may be the case whenever we take up the holy word of God, that we read it for our instruction. Lord, only thou canst open our eyes, open our ears to receive that instruction. Lord, we've read that solemn condition of those who raised up for themselves false prophets, those that would speak comfortable and easy things to them, and they would not hear the Lord God Almighty. Well, we pray, Lord, we know that we're all in that state by nature, and even sometimes after our call by grace, Lord, we become so indifferent, we backslide into that condition. Lord, we do pray that this night thou wilt open our ears to hear thy voice, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, do give that willing, obedient spirit to each one, or that we might seek, Lord, not only a blessing for our souls, but we do commend such seeking souls to thee, Lord. We beg that thou wilt enable them to find thee, as it were, this night. Lord, may there be that desire, that seeking also, how we should serve thee. What is our appointed path to honour thee, to bring glory to thy name. Oh Lord, do help each one in this, we pray, to know and to do thy will. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt bless the dear children and the young people here. We pray for the work of the Sunday school and for all those that teach in it. Oh Lord, that is a great responsibility, and no doubt they feel it. We do pray that thou wilt bless them in it, bless their own souls as they prepare the different lessons. Lord, may that word that is spoken and taught truly enter into the hearts of the young. We read in thy word what a blessing it is to know these things from our youth, to bear the yoke, to be united to thee, oh Lord, in our youth. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou would abundantly bless them, watch over them, protect and keep them in this evil day. Oh Lord, do go before them to show them the way to go. May it be their desire, not as we considered this morning, to lay down their plan to thee, but oh Lord, to receive guidance from thee, to be directed by thee. Oh Lord, we none of us can grow out of temptation. We none of us grow strong enough to resist temptations. Lord, it's not only a matter for the young. We do pray that thou wilt help each one of every age to stand fast, to fight that good fight of faith. Lord, it is a battle. It is a warfare against sin. How that old nature still dwells within us and would ever bring us down wherever possible. Lord, sometimes we make easy targets for that. We do pray, Lord, thou wilt help us to resist the devil. Oh, Lord, to put into practice thy word, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Oh, Lord, we help us to believe that when we are tried, when we are perhaps cast down, when our mind is filled with God-dishonouring thoughts. Do help us, Lord, to resist, to ever strive against sin in all its forms, whether, as it were, around about us or within our own heart. Lord, we do pray for those that are listening in, perhaps to the service this evening, whether from this congregation, having the care of little ones it may be, or for whatever reason, absent, and those perhaps from other causes, his own services are done for the day. Oh Lord, we pray that thy blessing might rest upon the word that has been preached throughout this day, and not only those chapels known to us, but Lord, throughout the world, where the gospel has gone forth, where it has been proclaimed aright. Oh Lord, we pray for thy blessing upon it. We pray that it not may not remain as that foolishness of preaching. Oh Lord, may we be made wise to what it means, what it means for us personally. Lord, we can learn, as it were, what the gospel means in our head, but oh, that there might be that application in each heart to know these things for ourselves. Lord, we do pray for those that are in some affliction and trouble. Oh Lord, it may be of body or of mind. Constantly reminded, Lord, of our mortality, the failings of body and the failings of mind. Lord, we do pray that we might be conscious of that. We might be prepared. Lord, we read that little expression this morning of one who was ready to die. Lord, we pray that that might be so with each of us. Perhaps not in that sense of death being imminent, but the preparation for it. Lord, the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue, which is of thee. Oh Lord, we cannot prepare ourselves, but we do pray that there will be that preparation, that we may come to an expected end. Lord, we do pray that thou would remember our nation again. Lord, we trust not in a vain repetition, but we would pray for our leaders and for all in authority over us. We pray for our Queen. Lord, we would thank thee for diligent service to the country over so many years. Lord, as we celebrate that Jubilee this year, Lord, we do pray that truly thou wilt save our Queen. Lord, may there be still in what we hope may be many years, but whatever remains of her life, Lord, may there still be testimonies from her lips as to what thou dost mean to her. We pray that we shall hear these things in the nation, that they may be used for good to many others also. Lord, we think of those who must, if time continues, must follow her upon the throne. We pray that they might be prepared for that. Oh Lord, that their heart might be turned to thee. We don't hear so much from them, but Lord, we pray that thou wilt work. We pray again, as no heart is too far off from thee, that there may be that saving work of grace, that there might be a good example set, righteous words spoken from the throne. And Lord, in government also, that there might be that spirit to do what is right in thy sight. Lord, we see how that courting of popularity will never really work, for there are so many different opinions, so many people want so many different things. Oh Lord, we pray that thou wilt guide them to what is right in thy sight, that thou wilt lead us back as a nation to thyself. Turn us again, O Lord, shine upon us from on high. Lord, let it be that we are again, in that sense, a righteous nation. Lord, we can see the truth of what is written on that poster, that sin is a reproach to any people. Lord, we don't have to look far to see the truth of that. Lord, how may we, Lord, also be led into that experience that righteousness exalteth a nation. Lord, let that word speak to those that go past, those that, particularly it may be those that are walking past, that have more ability to look around them, perhaps even those that are driving past. Lord, that thy word might speak to them. They may be careless, indifferent souls at this time, but Lord, may there be a time when thy word searches them out. Thy word it comes into their thoughts, perhaps for the first time, perhaps a reminder of things that they have known of old. Lord, do use those things for good. Bless the distribution of the Bibles, Lord. We've heard again from another friend yesterday in Kent how many Bibles have been taken. Lord, we pray that that may not just be idle curiosity, or that they may not be destroyed, as it were, in spite, but Lord, they may be taken for a good reason, a desire to search out the truth. Lord, do bless this means, we pray. Lord, however the gospel is proclaimed, written or audibly, or however it may be, whether thou dost speak thyself directly into the heart, Lord, do give that blessing of thy word throughout the earth, we pray. Do bless those that labour in that field to bring thy word to others. Lord, we do pray then that thou bless that same word to our souls this evening. All our privileges, all our responsibilities, Lord, thou knowest how we are personally tried by that word. To whom much is given, shall much be required. And Lord, we have all received much providentially, and we trust we've received many spiritual blessings, and therefore much is required of us. Lord, do come and bless our souls this evening. We pray that none might go away empty. May everyone feed upon thy word. Lord, thou didst feed those thousands at one time, and how we read, they did all eat and were filled. And Lord, we are nothing like that number here. Oh, we pray for that same blessing, that all may eat and all may be filled. Lord, may we leave thy house this evening satisfied with favour and full with the blessing of the Lord. Lord, grant that blessing that was pronounced to Naphtali to be ours this evening. Lord, do look down upon us in thy mercy. Oh Lord, we are all sinners. We have all come short. We have none of us kept thy word and thy laws. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt make each one to realize it. May there be that work of the Holy Spirit in each heart to make us understand how we appear to thee. Oh Lord, and yet thou hast mercy. And yet there is that loving kindness of the Lord. Oh, may we think upon that. May that be made a reality to our hearts. Oh, Lord, do visit each one then, we pray. Make up in giving where we fail in our prayers. Again, Lord, we ask thou hear what to us have been silent prayers. But thou knowest, Lord, what is in the thoughts of each one. Oh, do hear and hearken and forgive. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Hymn 515. Holy Ghost, we look to thee. Raise the dead, the captive free. From the mighty take the prey. Teach the weak to watch and pray. Hymn 515.
the Lord may be pleased to help us all speaking and hearing, I direct our thoughts once again to the words we looked at this morning in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 55 and parts of verses 8 and 9. As I said this morning, it's not really the ways, our ways or God's ways that are in my thoughts, but this word thoughts. And so we read in Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts than your thoughts." We tried to trace out this morning some of the thoughts, the evil thoughts of mankind in general, but indeed even of the Lord's people in unregeneracy, that our thoughts are evil continually. But the Lord in his mercy does deliver his people so that we do have some other thoughts, not only, as we considered, fearful, doubting, anxious thoughts, thoughts of our plans and trying, as it were, to dictate to God, but also those thoughts that of our own unworthiness, and yet that realization that though indeed we are unworthy and will always remain unworthy, yet we must come. We must come to the Lord. That dear centurion, how he felt that, but he came, he must come. Only Christ could do for him what he desired, in his case, of course, the healing of his servant. And we finished really with trying to consider, albeit rather briefly, but how we, when we are brought to know and to understand these things, the psalmist says, "I have thought of," or "we thought have thought of thy loving kindness, O Lord," the mercies of God. One of the things that I didn't bring out this morning, that wasn't really in my original thoughts to do so, but I was struck by the readings this morning and this evening as well, that emphasis on those that are seeking. And I want to try to bring that out a bit more this evening, as the Lord may help us. Those seeking thoughts, thoughts that are toward God, but perhaps, if I can put it that way, not fully formed. You don't quite know how to think about those things, but there is that desire. The soul is alive. You have been born again, but there remains so much still to seek after. Now, I want to begin, as I said this morning, we wanted to come more this evening to the thoughts that God has. Now, of course, we are completely inadequate in one sense to consider God's thoughts. They are so high, infinitely high, above our thoughts. And yet, in the mercy of God, there is much in the scriptures that do tell us about God's thoughts and what God thinks. I want to try to look at a few of those things this evening. We begin with the words of Daniel. Daniel says this in chapter 4 of that book, "I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders." A little verse in my mind, hope it may be so with you, seems to bridge between our thoughts and what God's thoughts are. Daniel thought And clearly in this he was guided by the Holy Spirit. He thought it was a good thing to show the signs and the wonders, the thoughts that God had, God wrought toward me. I just want to draw your attention to that word wrought. It's not perhaps really an everyday word, but we know what it means, the things that God has done toward me. But I believe the word wrought is there for a purpose, and I want you to think and consider, I'm no expert by any means, but to think about wrought ironwork. What does that mean? It's not just metal work, it's not just something that has happened, as it were, is it, or been fashioned by the blacksmith. That word wrought, in order to have wrought iron, it's not like pressed steel or something like that, but wrought iron, first of all, it's been heated in the furnace, hasn't it? It's had to be softened. You can't work with iron, with cold iron. You can't twist it, you can't form it when it's cold. There must be that heating in the furnace. The trials, as we may experience them, you wouldn't enjoy being in a furnace. And sometimes, Peter describes it, doesn't he, as that fiery trial of your faith. And that word wrought, really, I think its origin, the real root meaning of that word is twisted. And how it may seem to us, our lives are twisted, may seem to us twisted out of shape, twisted out of recognition. They're bent into all sorts of shapes, as it were. And if you've ever watched a blacksmith at work, you may have found, as I have thought, well, whatever is he making? I can't understand the design. What pattern is he working to? But then, if we're able to work to watch for longer, we see the design emerging. We see the different pieces perhaps being brought together. And is it not so with God's works, God's thoughts toward us? We can't see the pattern always, can we? Often we can't see what the pattern is. What design is God working to? It may be a mystery to us. But you see, God's thoughts are so much higher than ours. He has a plan. He has a design. We may feel our whole life is being twisted, as it were, out of shape, bent in all sorts of awkward ways. But God is doing it. God has an ultimate plan in mind. I thought it good to show the signs and the wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, how mighty are his wonders. Now, I don't know whether Daniel was there consciously thinking of Psalm 40, as we know it, whether he was aware of that. But this is a thought that David also shares in Psalm 40. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us ward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Now, that is, they cannot be placed in order by us. Our thoughts are not capable of seeing all the work of God and putting it all out in order. Doesn't mean that God can't do that. These wonderful works of God, they're too wonderful for us, aren't they, at times? But God I speak simply, forgive me, but God knows what he's doing. If I would declare and speak of them, that word would really, I know it's conditional tense, but really it speaks of a willingness, doesn't it? That's what it means. If I was willing to declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Oh, could we ever really testify of everything that God has done for us? I don't think we could. We often learn these things little by little, don't we? We often learn them, as it were, in retrospect. It's only when we look back upon them that we realise, oh, that's what I was being taught. That's what I should have learned. Perhaps I should have learned it much sooner. But it doesn't mean that to declare what God has done is wrong just because our mind is finite and we cannot declare everything. This is a very precious psalm, Psalm 40, and I would commend it. I know the whole word of God is precious, don't misunderstand me, but I would commend it to you. The general thrust, as it were, of that psalm is David's declaration of what God has done, what God has wrought in his life. He says, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. I have not refrained my lips, O Lord. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness. Yes, he cannot reckon it all up. Yes, he doesn't have a comprehensive understanding of everything God has done. But he declares what he does know. He would speak out. It is his desire to glorify and honour God for what he has done. And at the end of that psalm, again, it's a very wonderful little verse, the last verse of Psalm 40. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. It's a very wonderful, precious thought, isn't it? Yes, I remain poor and needy, though God has done many signs, many wonders, though we have to say, what hath God wrought? What has he done in our life indeed? And yet we still remain in and of ourselves poor and needy. We're not growing, or at least we should not be growing, self-sufficient, complacent, no longer in need of God. No, we remain poor and needy. If we're in a right spirit, we always will remain poor and needy in this life. But what a wonderful thought for us this is, that the Lord thinketh upon me. Of all the billions, I don't know what the number is it 8 or 9 billion or something, people in the world at this time, not only at this time, but think about throughout history, how many billions have come and lived their lives and gone, they've died, and yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Me. Why me out of all those billions? Obviously not me only, but all his people. Well, it's a wonderful consideration, isn't it, that God is thinking about us. Now, it's twofold, really. I think one is very solemn, and we'll come back to this later on, I hope, but just here to note, God sees us exactly as we are. He knows our thoughts even, not only the words that we've spoken or the actions that we've done. He knows everything about us. So that's a very solemn thought, isn't it, that the Lord thinketh upon me. I've got nothing that is hidden from God. There's lots of things that are hidden from other people. There's lots of things nobody else knows, but there's nothing that isn't known to God. So that consideration, but also, and I think this is really more the context of that word, the Lord thinks of my need. The Lord thinks of my poverty. He recognises me as the, as it were, the dust or the worm of the earth, however you want to look at it, something very low, something very, very needful. Or needy, rather, sorry, I should say, something very needy. He thinks of that. And is it not his promise, my God shall supply all your need? Through his riches, according to his riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. It's a wonderful word that, isn't it? Whatever your need might be tonight, oh, may the Lord supply you. The Lord thinketh upon me. I well remember, it's many years ago now, when our children were very little, and one was, I can't remember which one now, it doesn't matter, disturbed in the night, and I went from our bedroom to theirs to settle them down, and as I came back through the hallway in our hallway, just sort of above the front door really, there's a roof light or a Velux window, and as I came across the hallway, it was so illuminated in the hall, I wondered what it was, and I looked up through the window, and the moon, a full moon, was shining down. It shone like a spotlight, it felt to me. It seemed really almost like the eye of God thinking upon me. And that word of Psalm 8 came into my thoughts. Never forgotten the blessing of that. When I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? What are we that God should think upon us? What are we that God should be mindful of us? And yet, here is the holy word of God that says it is so. As we said this morning, our doubts and our unbelief of what God has said is a sinful thing. We should not have those thoughts. We should welcome this thought. Faith should embrace this thought. God is thinking about me. God knows what I need. Other people may have no idea what you need at this time. Maybe you don't even really know what you need. But God is thinking about it. God is thinking about you. Oh, those further twists, those turns, maybe another time in the furnace, maybe, to work out his design, his plan. Now, David, as he came toward the end of his life, he gave very wise counsel to his son Solomon. We read that David said this, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imagination of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now." In other words, be very watchful, be very careful. "Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee." Now, in the case of Solomon, the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary, to build the temple. We know what a great work that was that Solomon was commissioned to do. But as I was thinking of it, the Lord has a work for every one of his people, doesn't he? I think I said in prayer, it struck me in this way, not only seeking the Lord, seeking what he can do for us, that's right, of course, that's proper, and above all, seeking from him the pardon of our sin, for no one else can do that for us. But the context here is really seeking how we can serve the Lord. I don't think we hear very much, and I don't think I speak very much, really, about serving the Lord. But it is a vital part, isn't it, of the Christian's experience. It should be our great desire. How may I serve the Lord? The Lord, you see, searcheth the heart and understandeth all the imagination of the thoughts. The Lord knows if you are seeking him, and the Lord knows how you are seeking him. His promise, it's a wonderful promise, isn't it? If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. May come back to that again later in Jeremiah as we read similar words, but what a precious thing this is. The Lord knows the sincerity of your seeking. The Lord knows your thoughts. Now, it may be that the thought of what the Lord has chosen you to do is too great for you. You think, well, I can't do that. I can't serve God in that way. It's beyond me. Well, really, building the temple was beyond Solomon, wasn't it? Even with all the wisdom that he had. You see, I haven't finished that quotation yet. If you know that verse in the first of Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 10, this is really the answer. If that's the objection, if that's your thought, Lord, I can't do that. Lord, that's too difficult. Lord, that's a step too far for me. Well, David's advice was this, and the word of God is this: be strong and do it. It's very simple, isn't it? Five words. Be strong and do it. You know what that means. I don't think the youngest here has any difficulty in really knowing what that means. Be strong and do it. Whatever it is that God has chosen you to do, whatever God has shown to you, whatever God has put into your thoughts as to what you ought to be doing, be strong and do it. Now, that strength is in God, isn't it? We don't have the strength ourselves. It is something we may be very conscious that in that sense it is beyond us. But you see, it's not beyond us with the strength of God. Oh, how the apostle had to learn that, didn't he? I can do all things. And don't you, and don't let me put a caveat on that and say, well, it doesn't really mean all things. It might mean some things. No, it means what it says. I can do all things. But it's through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can't do it myself, true. But don't let that be an excuse. Don't let that be a hindrance. Well, I won't do it then, because I'm not strong enough. Christ is strong enough. He has that strength to give. Oh, the Lord searches your heart, searches mine, looks at our thoughts as regards this matter. Feel persuaded of the Lord that there are those here that know. I don't know what it is, and I don't know who it is, but I do feel persuaded the Lord has put something in your heart, and you know he's chosen you to do that. But you're shrinking away from it. You don't want to do it, maybe. Or go back to what we said this morning, those that were here this morning, concerning Naaman. Behold, I thought, I've got it all mapped out. I know exactly what I'm going to do, or what I expect the prophet to do. But he had to prove, didn't he? There were twists and turns in the way that he didn't expect. But God still blessed him. God recovered him of his leprosy. That speaks spiritually, his sin pardoned and put away. Be strong and do it. Now, it may be that in order to do that, you want to search out the Word of God. Be sure that it is the Word of God that is directing you, not some imagination in your mind. I'm thinking of how the Word of God is described in Hebrews chapter 4. The Word of God is quick. That is, of course, it means living or alive. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. As we think about God's thoughts are expressed through his word. Now you may be searching the scriptures, but do you find at times that in fact the scriptures are searching you? They're discerning your thoughts. They're revealing your thoughts. That is, revealing them to you. God knows those thoughts. He doesn't need any further revelation. As we've seen, God knows exactly what your thoughts are. But as you search the scriptures, so your thoughts are directed by the word of God. He's revealing, he's discerning, or making you to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, are those thoughts, are those intents of obedience, or are they of rebellion? When you know this matter that God has chosen you to do, and you search through his word, I know what it is to do it, to search through his word, and you find every page, as it were, shows, no, you're rebelling. You're not doing it. You're turning away from it. And you turn another page, I'll find something else, and it says the same thing. And you look somewhere else, surely there's comfort, surely I can find some confirmation that I don't have to do it. And no. You find again there's a word that says, no, you must do it. God is discerning your thoughts and the intents of your heart. If I go back to Psalm 40, there's another verse in that psalm, isn't there, that says this, I delight to do thy will, O my God. It's one of the most, at least I find personally, one of the most challenging words really in the scripture. How often can we honestly say, and I mean honestly before God, you might fool me, I might fool you, but God discerns our thoughts and intents. How often can we honestly say that to do the will of God, I'm not saying think about the will of God, but to do the will of God, is a delight to your soul. Now that word was applied in the Hebrews to the Lord Jesus Christ himself, wasn't it? It shows that that word was a word of prophecy. Now just think for one moment what Christ had to go through. And are you shrinking? Am I shrinking from what God has chosen us to do? And yet Christ went through with what he was chosen, or what he chose to do in that sense. He delighted to do it. Cost him more than anything will ever cost you and me. But he delighted in it. There was such a spirit of holy obedience in it. Oh, what an example. Consider him, we're told, aren't we, in Hebrews chapter 12. I think those words could be applied to, well, to every day, can't they, of our lives. Consider him, what he did. I must move on. Now, where there is this exercise of soul, where you know that God knows your thoughts, where you realise that there is something set before you to do, but you wonder, maybe this is not an unwillingness, but maybe this is just a genuine concern, as it were, how could it ever be done? How could that thing, whatever that thing is, how could that ever come to pass in my life? Maybe, again, that sense of unworthiness and unfitness, and in that way, it's a genuine thought. How could this ever be? Well, we read this concerning God's thoughts. The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. We, like Naaman, we have many plans and many thoughts about things, but there's absolutely no guarantee they will come to pass. And even if they do, it's not because we've controlled those events and we've made it come to pass. We have no power, our thoughts have no power in that sense, do they? But the thoughts of God, being so infinitely higher, when God thinks a thing, it comes to pass. And if it is God's thought that that matter is for you to do, it will come to pass. You're not going to be the first person that proves God's word to be false, are you? No one has ever proved God's word false, and no one ever will. If that's what God has said has got to come to pass, if that is God's thought toward you, the Lord thinketh upon me, even though I'm poor and needy, it is going to come to pass. And you can rebel and you can struggle, or you can genuinely be concerned, but it will. It's really almost like a definition of the almighty power of God here, isn't it? As I have thought, surely, there's an added emphasis, surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. My mind went very simply. I know that also includes God speaking, but if you go back to the time of creation, when the earth was void, as it were, it was empty, it was lifeless, and God thought, I know he also spoke it, but he thought there was the need of light, and there was light. What a demonstration of almighty power. You and I could be in a darkened room and we could think for hours about the light. It would still be dark, wouldn't it? Our thoughts can't change anything. God's thoughts, which are so much higher, when he thinks a thing, it comes to pass. Surely, with certainty, it will happen. And that word there, as I've read it, as I have purposed, so shall it stand. If we carried on to verses 10 and 11 in Isaiah 55, we read them this morning, but I'll read them again because you'll see the connection. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. The word of God will always accomplish the purposes of God. Our thoughts may not attain to what that purpose might be, but we can be sure God is working out that purpose. Oh, sometimes it may solemnly, the purpose of God's word may serve simply to condemn us, to show, for example, if we think of that parable of the sower, the seed was the word of God. Now, we might say it didn't all accomplish God's purpose because it wasn't all fruitful. Well, that's not right. It did. All of it accomplished God's purpose, but solemnly, in 3 out of the 4 cases, the purpose was to show the state of the ground was not fit. It was hard-packed. It was impenetrable. Oh, there are many souls like that, aren't they? The word does not penetrate. There are others where it penetrated, but it was very shallow. And they couldn't stand the trials that came. And they faded away. There were those, solemnly, where the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choked the word. It was still proving God's purpose there, wasn't it? It was still accomplishing what God had sent it out for. Oh, we need to be so very careful, particularly, and I don't say this from the point of view of being a preacher. I say this for myself as the times when I have the opportunity to be a hearer. We can come and we can go and we can say, well, I got nothing out of that preaching. And our thought is, and my thought sadly is, when I am like that, well, it's the fault of the preacher. Why didn't he do more or better preparation? Why wasn't he more earnest in his prayers beforehand? Why didn't he have a different text? That's our thought. And what we should be thinking is, why is my heart unfruitful? What is it with me that the word has accomplished its purpose, and its purpose has been, you're barren. We trust, not always so, but at this moment, you're unfruitful. Oh, how we need to pray in that respect, that the purpose of God may be to bring forth fruit in our heart, in our life. His thoughts will come to pass. His purposes will be brought to happen, as it were. I want to just come back to what we read in Jeremiah chapter 29. Oh, how God says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Because God's thoughts are so much higher than ours, so superior to our thoughts, we can't say that, can we? I can't say, and you can't say, I know the thoughts that God has toward me. Sometimes, yes, that is revealed. Sometimes we feel those blessings. We know we're being led by the Spirit. But we can't comprehensively say, I know the thoughts that God has toward me. But God can say that. God does say that. We sometimes have that word, don't we, the omniscient God. It's a difficult word of Greek origin, but it means all-knowing. There is nothing that is not known to God. That's what it means. And so, quite rightly here, God says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Now, here is a wonderful encouragement, isn't it? Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Evil there, of course, as it does in many places in the scripture, means trouble. Of course, God's thoughts would not be sinful in that sense of the word evil, but they're thoughts of peace, not thoughts of trouble. And I was just thinking in the vestry just a few minutes ago, I hadn't really properly considered this, but what does this mean, to give you an expected end? To give you an expected end. David in one of the Psalms, I think Psalm 62, says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him." Forgive me again for being very simple, but it came to me like this. The fool that has said in his heart there is no God, you may know many fools that challenge your belief, that say it's ridiculous to believe in God, there's no proof, no evidence of him, why would you do that? You may know those challenges. Now, when that fool comes to their end, when they die, they're going to be very surprised, aren't they? Because they're relying on death being an end to everything. They're not going to get an expected end. Their end is going to be very unexpected. They're going to be taken completely unawares by it. Now, for the believer, for the one that the Lord is so working, that wrought work in their soul, their end is going to be expected. They have an anticipation of heaven. They have an anticipation that they will be received by God. Each and every one must go through that judgment. But because their trust and their hope is in Christ and what he has done, their expectation is of glory. Now, there's a wonderful thought here, isn't there? To give you my thoughts, says God, toward you, to give you an expected end. Now, if we expect it, it's because God has been preparing us for it through this life. Yes, strange twists and turns. Yes, fiery trials. All of that. But the purpose is, God's design is, to prepare you for your end. That little description that we noted this morning of the centurion servant, ready to die. As I said, I think the real context of that means his death was imminent. He was very seriously ill. But if we think about it in terms of ready, prepared, oh, could that be said of you and of me? We don't know how far off any of us, how far off our end is. But do you have an expectation of what it will be? I'll put that very simply to you. You know, I know, I'm going to die. You know you're going to die. What do you expect is going to happen when you die? Naturally, we don't want to think about it, do we? We want to put it off. It's too solemn, it's too hard for us. But it is going to happen. What do you expect is going to happen? If you expect, as it were, that nothing will happen, that death is the end of everything, you're going to be very surprised. If you expect that your soul will continue to exist, if you have that expectation that is of the Lord, you will expect to receive, that the Lord will receive you into his kingdom. Oh, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? God says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. I'm poor and needy, but the Lord thinketh upon me. And what he thinks is thoughts of peace and not of trouble, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now, again, what I hadn't thought to say, but what stands out to me this evening is this. The next few, two verses, or three verses perhaps, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Oh, is there no end, as it were, to the wonderful promises that God is making here? I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me, and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity and gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Oh, is that your expectation? Is that what you believe will happen? As you continue to seek the Lord, as you desire to seek him with all of your heart. Oh, it's a high requirement, isn't it? But the Lord won't have half-hearted seekers. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Many have tried. Perhaps many here have tried. I have tried. Jesus didn't say you can't try, but he did say you can't succeed. And you cannot do it. God will have wholehearted seekers and searchers, but what a blessing. Ye shall find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. I just want to come. I'm sorry, I haven't managed the time very well today either, but I just want to come back to what we read in Psalm 139. It begins and it ends with the thought of God knowing everything about us. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. David is very clear. Nothing is hidden from God. Wherever he might go, to like Jonah, to try and flee from the presence of God, he can't do it. Wherever he might hide away, God is still there. God knows everything. God's thoughts penetrate the darkness. The darkness is just like the daylight to God. That's a fact. David states that. This is what has happened. But at the end of that psalm, it is a prayer, isn't it? And it is a very great prayer. If we can really pray that from our heart, knowing our thoughts are so often evil, and yet the prayer is, search me, O God. Do it more. In the future, continue to search me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Why? It's a fearful thing to be searched out by God in that way. Why did David want that to be the case? Because he hated sin. He was guilty of it. He felt it. He felt the power of it. But he wanted to be cleansed from it. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, as it were, sandwiched, if I can put it that way, between those two thoughts of what God has searched out and what God will search out, is that verse 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. Now, I can't go back over what we've said, but try to bear in mind the things that we've set before you. Can you say in your heart this evening that the thoughts of God are precious to you? What God thinks about you, when God thinks of you, when God has you in his mind, words fail, don't they? But you know what I mean. Can you say, that's really precious to me? How precious are thy thoughts to me, O God, for my thoughts, says God, are not your thoughts. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts than your thoughts. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Wheatley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening and Mr. Stephen Hyde next Lord's Day, and he hopes to address the Sunday School. And Fen Stanton Ascension Day special service is on Tuesday at 7:15, on Thursday at 7:15. Let us close with hymn 319. How light, while supported by grace, are all the afflictions I see. To those, the dear Lord of my peace, my Jesus has suffered for me. To him every comfort I owe, above what the fiends have in hell. And shall I not sing as I go, that Jesus does everything well. Hymn 319.
Gracious God, we do pray thou wilt forgive any thoughts and words that may have been wrong in thy sight. Oh Lord, how true it is that thou dost search us out, even into our thoughts. Lord, we do thank thee, though, for thy thoughts toward us, especially those thoughts that are of peace and not of evil. Oh Lord, we do pray that in thy mercy we might have that expected end, that it may fall out as we anticipate through faith. Lord, we cannot see those things, but although we might have faith to believe, it shall be so. Now may the love of God the Father, the grace of Christ the Son, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with us each. Amen.